moment when you're in the middle of worship and you open your eyes and you realize that you've completely gone from facing the front to over here somewhere. That was me this morning. It's a great thing about standing in front of everyone. No one sees you doing that. You did you? Man, I just love the fact, one of the things I'm learning more and more is when life gets difficult, when it throws stuff at you, which it does, the best place to go is into the presence of God. There is no place better than getting into His presence, and just getting lost in Him, because He's the one who can give you the strength to be able to face what you're doing. It all brings, everything comes into perspective when you get into the presence of God, So I just, thanks team for leading us this morning and just creating that environment. I don't care what anyone else thought, it was awesome for me. Thank you. There's a couple of things. We got some great stuff coming up. In 3 weeks' time, we're going to have a baptism service in here. So that's on the 23rd. So we've got our portable tank we'll bring in, and we'll somehow fill it with water and somehow heat it up, or maybe it might be cold. I don't know. But that's on the 23rd. Also on that day, so this is just awesome, going to be, it's an awesome Sunday coming up. We've got water baptism, so a few of our young people, if you want to be water baptized or you don't know what water baptism is, come and see me, because for me, if there's anything in the journey of following Jesus, water baptism is it in terms of the pivotal moment of public declaration of what I'm actually doing. You can pray a prayer and all that kind of stuff, but you're really committed when you get water baptized. Yeah. And the Bible talks about that being the moment where we enter into the death of Jesus and rise again in His new life. Paul calls it that when you get water baptized, that's what you're identifying with. You're laying down your life for the cause of Jesus. And you're saying that in front of principalities, powers, and the church. And so we're going to have a great day that day. We're also that day dedicating Alicia and Brendan's boy, Micah. He's going to be dedicated that day as well. So we're going to have just an awesome Sunday. So Brendan's back there on the desk if you don't know who Brendan is. So that's going to be awesome. So the 23rd, so 3 weeks, block it out in your diary to be here, because we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun that day. The week before is going to be pretty awesome too. We've got communion, and Jackie Fawcett's going to be leading us in some stuff around relationship and blessing other people in relationship, and that we're called to speak blessing and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be fantastic and a really practical thing. And next week we've got Dave Lloyd speaking, so you're in for a treat over the next 3 weeks. Don't miss it. And then today, it's me. Come on. Woo! So, are you ready? Don't do the bum wobble. Oh, the bum wobble. I'm too high now to do that, aren't I? Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I won't do the bum wobble. That was just you, Philippa. No one else was looking. You better not have been. Anyway, sorry, completely inappropriate in church, but hey, I'm inappropriate out of church, so I'll be inappropriate in services as well. If you've got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, most of you might know it off by heart. We've been talking about relationship. We're going to continue on that this morning, and I will be up front, straight up. This morning might get emotional, so if you don't have tissues nearby, if you're an emotional kind of person, then grab some. I grabbed a couple before I started because I thought this is just not going to come right otherwise. So, because I love Philippa's message last week, her first point in it was about emotions, and that in relationship, emotions is central. And you cannot have an intimate relationship with someone without engaging emotions. And so this morning, we've spoken a little bit in relationships so far. I've talked a lot about love one another. And then my last message, which was a couple of weeks ago, I had a whole bunch of other notes that I didn't get to, and I want to get to those today, about what does it actually mean to love one another. We can talk about it being important, to us in our relationship and in the church that we are the people who love each other, but what does that actually look like? And I love the fact that when we go to Scripture, God shows us what love looks like because He sent us Jesus, for one. So your first model of what it means to love one another is to look at how Jesus lived His life. That's the first one. And then you've got, all through Scripture, you've got illustrations of people living out love and all of that. And there's this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I think is probably, outside of the Lord's Prayer, I would say it is the most well-known passage in the world that we live in today. Outside of the Lord's Prayer, I think most people, if you said 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, they would know what you were talking about, in the Western world at least, in terms of that. So we want to go there this morning, and I want to have a read. So I'm only going to read the middle part of it, which is from verse 4 through to verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If anyone ever asks you what love looks like, that sums it up. Now, my first statement, I remember a long time ago when I was probably in the late 80s, there was an artist by the name of Don Francisco. Does anyone remember Don Francisco? You're showing your age right there, people. He wrote some fantastic songs of stories from Scripture and then put them to music. But I can always remember one song that he used to sing, which was called Love Is Not a Feeling, or the first line is Love Is Not a Feeling, It's an Act of Your Will. Which is true, but not true at the same time. But he was really addressing a thing that I think is prevalent today in our society, is that love is this feeling that you get. And it's easy to fall into love, and it's easy to fall out of love. Because how many of you know feelings are like that? You can wake up one morning feeling fantastic. You can wake up the next morning, same kind of morning. In fact, it might even be a better morning in terms of the creation and the sun being up, and you feel absolutely crap. Anyone with me? Coffee is a magic solution to that sometimes. But not always. Because feelings come and go, don't they? And I think one of the biggest challenges for us in relationships today is if we're going for this feeling called love, this feeling that we get when we're in love. You remember that first time, for those of you who are married, that you connected with your spouse and you got that feeling where you're cold, you sweat on your palms and your heart goes a bit faster and that first kiss and all of those feelings, and everyone goes, oh, man, that's what it means to fall in love. And when you just want to spend all your time with that person. I remember, I've told this story before with Philippa and I. You know, we first met. The first time we started going out, there was one night we spent all night, like literally all night. I dropped her home at 4 o'clock in the morning. We were talking. Uh-huh. We really were, seriously. We're not that kind of people. But we were talking, and we just wanted to spend as much time as we could with each other. And fortunately, we were young then, so you could handle an all-nighter and then go to work the next day, which I did. But that's that feeling, and often we talk about that feeling, and that's what it's like to fall in love. But the reality was, for Philippa and I, and I'm probably being incredibly vulnerable here, you know, you're meant to have that honeymoon period. Yeah, that finished about 2 days into our honeymoon. Where there are moments when that feeling of, I don't want to be with you, comes up. Anyone with me? You have those moments, don't we? Some of you are laughing way too much right at this moment. But if we define love as a feeling, that's what happens. Because if you and I are called to love one another, how many of you are with me when I say that sometimes you feel love for other people in the body of Christ, and then other moments, I want to be as far away from this group of people as I possibly can? Yeah? We get that. That's part of the human experience. But love, as Paul describes it here, is more than just a feeling. Feelings are involved, absolutely. But if your feelings determine how much you love someone, you are in for a rough ride. There is no way that you and I want to be the kinds of people who fall in and out of love all the time. That is not a good way to live. And you think about this. What would it be like if God fell in and out of love with you? What would that be like? I mean, he has every right to. If you live a life anything like mine, there are moments when you know that you've just probably, if God was mean and nasty, you pissed him off. I'll use that word. Please excuse me if someone's offended. You know you've done things at times, and you know, if God was the kind of guy who struck people with lightning, I probably would have just had that right then. Probably because I used the word piston. But God's not like that. He doesn't jump out of love with you because he feels angry or he feels upset or disappointed by how we've lived our lives. He doesn't do that. He's chosen you and he's chosen to love you. See, love starts with a choice. And it says, I'm choosing to love you. See, love is based on a covenant. It's based on a choice that you and I make, that because I'm serving God and he has called me to love other people, then I am choosing to love people no matter how unlovely they may be. In fact, love is only really shown when someone's unlovely. How easy is it to like them, let alone love them? It's not easy, is it? You know that in your marriage relationships. You know that with your siblings. You know there are times when your brother or sister is flippin' irritating. You know that when you go into a work environment, some of your colleagues are the most irritating people on the planet. And they can't seem to get it into their thick heads that they're irritating. Right? We know that. We know the realities of the human experience. But love takes a choice. It starts with a choice. That's why the ultimate expression of love is Jesus, because he chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. And he said, I'm going to love that person. In fact, I'm going to show them how much I love them because I'm going to send my son to die for them. See, God showed us, he demonstrated how much he loved us because he gave up his only son. Jesus put it this way. He said, greater love has no man than this, than someone lays down his life for his friend. Jesus demonstrated the greatest love on the planet. And yet you and I sometimes choose to dishonor that by not loving others. And I read this passage and I go through and I've listed them all out. I love the Message. Message put some different words on it. It goes, I'm going to read it from there. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, and keeps going till the end. How are you doing with that kind of love? Because relationship, in terms of the biblical definition of relationship, relationship in its essence is based on a choice to love someone. So you and I can be acquaintances. You can meet someone and you can greet them and you can talk about the weather. You can talk about how great the church service was. But until you choose to actually go the step beyond that and say, I want to love this person, all you are is just an acquaintance that you've met. It's a level of relationship, but it's nothing compared with what God's called us to. Where we actually are saying, you are important, and I'm going to give of myself for you. That's the essence of love. Rob Bell, in his book, The Zim Zum of Love, he says this. He says, it's one thing to be in love. It's another to act because of love. Love is a noun, a feeling you have, but it's also a verb, something you do. Philippa said this last week in her quote of her many quotes, that love is always action preceding the feeling. And it's only in the action that you discover what the foundation of the feeling is. That there are times when you and I have to choose to love someone even though the feeling isn't there, because at some stage the feeling will follow, but it starts with the action. See, I know that not all of us love one another. It's fine. You'll love a few people and you won't love others. God has called us to live with a life that is open to other people all the time. The challenge with that is some of what Philip has talked about last week. The moment you open your heart to someone else and choose to act in love towards them, you are taking a risk. And the human experience, what's built in us is when we face risk of hurt, of pain, of something happening, whenever we face that, our instinct is to, well, there's three things that happen. You can vary on it, but you'll all know these. They all start with F. You either fight, flight, or freeze. When it comes to a fear of something or experience of pain or something that you know you're taking a risk of, your instinct, your human instinct to that is you will fight. So if someone hurts you, if you've opened your life to them and they've hurt you, you will fight. Or you will run away as far as you possibly can from that situation, or you'll freeze. And you won't do anything. And unfortunately for most of us, we've been brought up in an environment where we've been coached or we've been trained or we've modeled a particular way of reacting to things. When we open up ourselves in relationship and things don't go the way we expect them and pain comes, we have been conditioned to react in a particular way. It's in our human instinct. You can do it without even thinking. You do it all the time. You work to avoid pain all the time. You minimize it. You run away from it. If you see it coming, you're out of here. Or you get angry. And you go, they're going to hurt me, I'll hurt them back. You know, all these things in its instinct, you don't even think about it. But love calls us to a higher way. It calls us to begin to train and condition ourselves to respond, to act with love despite what our feeling might be, despite what is going on in terms of all of our instincts are saying, I want to do this. Love says, hold on, wait a minute. Quoting Philippa again, put a little love in it. It says, my instinct says to do this, but love says to do this. And I'm going to choose the way of love.
you know, my experience of this week. I told you it was going to be emotional. There are things about the human life that absolutely suck. There are. Hell exists. And it exists in this life here today. It's not just something in the next life or whatever that looks like. It's not just something that exists there. It exists now in people's lives now. Some of you are sitting in this room and you've experienced some of that recently. My experience of life is, and I'm only 44, so there are people who have experienced a lot more. But if you refuse to engage with the heaven and the hell of earth today, you live a life that is way below what you were created for. See, the human experience, as much as we hate the pain and we hate the suffering, it is part of the life that we've been called to live. Why? Because I think it deepens and it broadens and it increases us and our capacity for love. Our ability to engage with the pain as much as we engage with the joy increases the capacity of us to experience the fullness of what it means to be human. If you refuse to engage with things because they're painful or they hurt, then you are missing out on everything that God has for you. We look at it and we go, and our instinct is pain, no thank you. Suffering, no thank you. We don't get it. We don't understand. In fact, most of the time, one of the biggest questions that exists on our planet today was, why is there pain and suffering? If there's a God of love, why is there pain and suffering? Why do we ask that? Because we don't like it. And we don't understand how that fits into an idea of love. But love encompasses it all. Love doesn't say, I don't want that part of this thing, so I'm just putting that over there. Love embraces it all, encompasses it all. And it says in amongst it, somehow if I can continue to find the way of love here, this will get better. Because God's promise is to us that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Lives down unto death. That sounds a lot like what Jesus says when he says, greater love has no man than this, than they are willing to lay down their lives for someone else. That the working together for good only takes place in us as we're willing to embrace the suffering, the pain, the agony, and go, there's a bigger thing in play here, and I've just got to let the love of God invade me so that I can walk through this, not fight it, not run away from it, not freeze in the middle of it, but embrace it. Now, I can tell you this week, my personal experience, there's stuff about this week that I did not want to embrace, but you have to. You have to. Not just because I'm a pastor, not just because Philippa and I have given ourselves for loving people, but we've learned if you don't, it will kill something inside of you. If you don't embrace the pain and suffering, something dies in you. If you don't face the hurt and the pain of relationship, of choosing the way of love, if you don't face that, something inside of you shrinks. Something dies. Something is lessened in its capacity within your life. But if you choose to embrace it, take the pain. Allow God to minister into that. Something increases. Your ability to relate to people, your ability to have compassion, your ability to walk through this life fully engaged with the emotion of it increases so that when you come across other situations, something of God has been deposited in you that you can give someone else. If you refuse to embrace it, something shuts down and you get into a position and you don't have anything to give because that last experience killed something in you. And the story of the gospel is you need to embrace the pain. Because the process of pain and suffering does something in us. It increases our capacity. It says of Jesus that through his suffering he was perfected. Now, you can throw some theological arguments at that. Was he perfect prior to suffering? You could ask that question. I don't really care, but the Bible says, Scripture says that something happened when Jesus went through his suffering to him. And he's hanging on the cross for you and I. And he looks at the people who'd hung him there and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love. That's love. There are times, you know, this week, Heather's, oh, we've talked about Heather. Earlier in the week on Monday morning, we had a text from, a phone call from Joe Mander, who's part of our church, just telling us that our neighbours at our old place before we moved, so we were neighbours with them for about, oh, it's probably about 10 years we were their neighbours, and we developed a pretty good relationship across the fence, as you do, and in each other's house, but primarily across the fence. A number of times I sat talking to Warren across the fence while I was working on the garden or doing something on the house. But we got a phone call on Monday morning to say that their one-year-old had died. Sudden death, Monday morning. Which is pretty horrific in itself. But add to that that 2.5 years before, that same couple had lost their four-year-old to sudden death. Both of their children gone. No children now. For what reason? No reason, no explanation, nothing. Just two dead babies. And everything in you, when you face that, goes, what the hang? That's not fair. It's not even close to being fair or right. There's nothing right about that. If that doesn't make you turn on the inside and go, ugh. And then to go, we have to walk into that situation. We can't ignore it. You got to walk in. I know, they know. They know who we are. They know we're pastors. And you know, the first thing that comes into their mind, the grandma comes and gives me a hug. And the first question she asks is, why does God let this happen? And what do you say to that? What do you say to that? All I can do is go, I don't know. But I know this isn't God. Because it's not the character of the God I serve. He's not mean like this. Definitely, I don't know why, but I know it's not God. I can absolutely guarantee that. But you've got to embrace the emotion. You've got to embrace the questions. Because if you don't, then something dies on the inside. And then add to that, Heather. And you know, there are some weeks that you just want to go, if we could just delete that off the history planet, that would be fantastic. I'd really like to get a redo on that and those things not happen. But they happen. You know that, don't you? We have those moments in life. But you know the fantastic thing? Being able to stand here this morning, to be able to go, to be in the presence of God and go, God, you know everything that's going on in my heart. And right now, I just need you. And to give yourself fully to the God who loves you fully, who's given his all for you or for me. That is the best place to be. And out of that, to be able to give yourself fully to the situations of life that come across you. To be able to love unconditionally is what we're called to do. I want to read this bit. This is not from the scriptures. It's just something I read when I've been reflecting on relationships, and I thought this was flipping awesome, so I'm just going to read it. I believe the true value of human relationships is that they serve as pointers to unconditional love. According to the, and he's, it's just in a, how do you say, a psychological paper, this, according to the subjective model, so don't worry about that, but when you forgive, accept, and love all parts of yourself, you will forgive, accept, and love all other human beings as they are. The more you improve your internal relationships with your thoughts, beliefs, intentions, emotions, the more loving and harmonious your human relationships will become. Hold unconditional love in your consciousness and you will see it reflected in your reality. Jesus' greatest commandments to us were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one another as you love yourself. For you and I, you know, one of the things that I think hinders hugely our ability to love other people is what is going on in our own heart and mind. I said right at the beginning, our instinct, what we've been conditioned for, is to run away from pain and from suffering and to run away from the possibility of that happening. That is something that is going on inside of your heart. If you don't deal with that, with your fears, with the emotions, with the things that limit you and your ability to relate to other people, if you don't allow God into those areas of darkness, then you will be forever limited in your ability to love other people. If we don't look at the scripture of 1 Corinthians 13 and ask ourselves the questions, how am I going with being patient? How am I going with being kind? How am I going with keeping records of wrongs against other people? Am I being quick to forgive? How am I going with being slow to anger? If we don't reflect on those ourselves and ask ourselves the questions, how am I enduring and persevering to the end? How am I going with that? Am I pulling back from anything because of fear? Am I pulling back from anything because of hurt? Or am I embracing, am I walking forward and persevering and enduring and keeping going till the end? All of those things that I love, we need to ask those questions of ourselves. We need to be looking inside. Michael Jackson coined the phrase, there's a man in the mirror. And if I'm going to change the world, I've got to change the man in the mirror. You and I have got to reflect on ourselves, what's going on inside. Hold it up to the mirror of unconditional love, of agape love, of love that God gives us, that he's shown through Jesus. We've got to hold our lives up to that and say, how am I going with measuring up to that? Only you can answer that question. And if we're to be the kinds of people who the world looks at us and says, wow, look at the love they have for one another. If we're to be that kind of people, we've got to be looking at ourselves. We've got to be looking at the man in the mirror and saying, there's areas I need to adjust internally because that will help me externally. We have to be those kinds of people because God has called us to live in love, to be people who model his character, which is love. So my question for you today, I've probably cast a few out there. But my question to you today is, how are you doing with reflecting the love of God into the relationships that you have now? When was the last time you sat down and did a self-evaluation on your relationships? Because the depth and strength of your relationships with other people will always reflect what's going on in your heart. If you're struggling with relationships, if you're saying, oh, I'm feeling isolated or I'm feeling lonely, ask yourself what's going on in my heart that's causing that. How am I living out what I want from other people? How am I living that out myself? Look in the mirror. Ask yourself the questions. Because God has called us on a journey so that we live lives that are broad, that are wide, that are as deep and all-encompassing as the love of Jesus is to us. Because how will anyone else know the love of Jesus and those around us unless we are the carriers of it? That's what you and I are called to. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for human experience. I thank you for the terrible stuff, the okay stuff, and the awesome stuff. I thank you for all of it. Father, I thank you for this week. I didn't like it, but I thank you for it. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would open my heart, our hearts, that you would cause us to become so confident in the love that you have for us, that we continue to open our lives and our hearts to journey through the things that you've called us to journey through. Father, may we all as a people be big-hearted. May we all be willing to show love by giving of ourselves for the benefit of others. May we all grow in our taste of what it means to be human, but to be human with the presence of the mighty God who is love, in us, around us, amongst us. Father, strengthen us where we need to be strengthened, we ask. Give us grace where we need grace. More than anything, may we experience more of your love for each of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Philippa, will you stand with me, please, Lawrence? I just deep within my spirit, I just sense that the Lord would like us all to stand and pray for our pastors in what has obviously been a very traumatic week for them both. So I'd like us to collectively do this, reach out to them and pray for them. Pray for them in your own way, verbally if you like, or silently if you choose. But Lawrence and Philippa, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come on you now, strengthen you both, release you from your pain. It will still linger for a while, but he will strengthen you in a way that is just totally of God, you will learn something new and afresh through this incredible pain that you have experienced, and Lawrence, that you have shared with such emotion and love this day. So Lord, just reach out to them. Family, just reach out to them. Cover them with your love, and know this, both of you, that we all love you dearly. We love you, we respect you, we thank you for your teaching and your example as you model Christ's love to us. And we give thanks to the Lord for you both. We bless you both.
Thank you, Jesus.
And help them, Lord, today. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Sorry for interrupting.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your prayers. You know, this wasn't about me. Obviously, my emotion will come out because I'm human. But we're in a series on relationship. And I really feel we're in this series because God is highlighting something to us. And more than anything, I want you to leave with a sense of God's love more than anything else. How much he loves you. And how much he's got the best in store for you. You know, that phrase that I said, that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, who love him and are willing to lay their lives down. That is something to hang on to, because God is true to his word. No matter what you're going through, God will always bring you through it if you walk with him and embrace it. Amen. So grace and peace, everyone. May the love of Jesus be yours today and always.